All right, let's turn in our Bibles this morning to Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Now, as most of you know, and there may be someone here who doesn't know, but we're going through the Bible as a congregation this year. This last week, we read through the whole Gospel of Luke. And next week, we'll be reading through the entire Gospel of John. What a powerful part of the Bible we're reading about the life of our Lord. Learning to spend time in God's Word every day, living in the Word and letting His Word live in us. Well, here we are in the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to pick out one passage that we read this week and take a look at it this morning. Luke chapter 8, the parable of the sower and the seed. So let's begin reading here with verse 4. Luke 8, verse 4. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some seed fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And as he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard, but then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root, and they believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for those that fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. And as for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Boy, parable of the sower and the seed, one that we've heard of many times if you've been a Christian for a while. One of the verses that I'd like to focus on here for just a moment is when his disciples came to him and said, what does this parable mean? He said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. The secrets. How many of you love a secret? Someone comes up to you and says, hey, I got a secret to tell you. You know, we kind of go, what's that? Especially if they say, don't tell anybody else. We feel pretty special, right? How many of you keep a secret and don't tell anybody else? Don't raise your hand, okay? All right. Well, secrets. Well, God has given his children, that's us. Jesus was talking to his disciples here, letting them know what this parable meant. He's given us the privilege to know the secrets of the kingdom, how to live in the kingdom of God. Like we talked about last week, there are two kingdoms in this world, right? There's the kingdom of darkness, and there's the kingdom of light. There's the kingdom of Satan, there's the kingdom of God, right? There is no middle kingdom. You're either in one or the other. God's word says the whole world is in the power of the devil. So you're either a slave to Satan or you're a slave to Christ. You're either one or the other. No one has one foot in each one. We are either in one kingdom or the other. And praise God, through Christ our Lord, Jesus has delivered us out of the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Now we got a new life. Now how do we live that life? Well, God has given us insights into the secrets of the kingdom. This is what life is all about. So that's what we have here. Now, R.C. Sproul says about this, from this point on in Luke, parables are more prominent. Okay? Crowds are coming to Jesus, but many of them are coming for a casual contact. Either they just wanted to see another miracle, or they wanted to be fed, or they wanted to see a healing, or wanted a healing. So Jesus began to speak in parables because parables took careful thought. They knew he was making a point, but what was he trying to say in this analogy, in this lesson? So he spoke in parables. cause people to listen more carefully. Now, Mark's gospel, the gospel of Mark, which is a synoptic gospel, there's three of them, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They're called synoptic gospels because you can put them alongside of each other, and many of them cover the same events, okay? And in Mark's gospel, he talks about the sower and the seed. But you find here in Mark chapter 4:13, when his disciples came to him and said, "Lord, what does it mean about the sower and the seed?" And I picture Jesus personally walking by a field and seeing a farmer out there, because he would use illustrations all the time from wherever they were. Look at this lily. Look at the birds of the air. Look at these temples, whatever it was. And I feel he was walking by a field and he says, "Yeah, the farmer, when he sows seed, look at the way he's sowing seed. It falls in different places out there." So when they came to him, Jesus made this tremendous statement. He says in Mark 4:13, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" So if we don't understand the parable of the sower and the seed, we will miss the point in all the other parables. Why? Because the parable of the sower and the seed talks about how we receive God's word. This is what it's all about. How we receive God's word, and who does and who doesn't. Have you ever thought about, asked these questions? I know I have. Why is it that some people come to church or go to Bible studies, mainly church attendance, year after year, week after week, year after year, with no change in their life? They come to church, they listen to music, they never read the Bible, they never put any of God's word to practice. They just come. Maybe they come with a family member because their family goes to church. Or maybe it's just traditional to go to church. My grandparents did, great-grandparents did, parents did. Everybody needs a little religion in their life. And so they just go on Sunday mornings. But no effect. God's word has no effect. They didn't even talk about it outside of the church service. Why are there some people like that? Why are there some people who seem to receive God's word with joy, say, "Yes, this is what I needed." And they're around church for a while. They get involved in Bible studies. They get involved in life groups. And then after 6 months or so or a year, they're gone. They're gone. You go, "Where'd they go?" And then you talk to them on the street and they say, "Well, you know, I'm reconsidering some things right now." What happened? What happened? Well, there's reasons why. Then there's others who you say, you know, they want to grow in the Lord. They seem to have a desire. They seem to have good intentions. But man, I just don't see any growth in them at all. Why is that? Why is it they have a desire to follow the Lord, but nothing happens in their life? And then why is there other people who seem to give their lives to Christ and they just start growing and going? And they don't stop. They don't look back. They keep on God's words transforming their lives, transforming everything around them, and they just take off in the Lord. Well, God gives us great insights into what's going on in the parable of the sower and the seed there. That's why it's such a powerful verse. Now, parable is something that's set alongside of something else. Para, like parallel. Para, to put alongside of. So it's a lesson that's put alongside of an eternal truth. This is what a parable is. And most of the times, Jesus spoke in parables mainly with regards to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like a tree. The kingdom of God is like a pearl. The kingdom of God is like something else. See, and they were parables that he spoke in. And here we have some of the secrets to life in the kingdom. So let's look at this. So Jesus points out three things here. One, the seed is the word of God. So words are seeds planted that form ideas, and ideas have consequences. So our words are important, number one, right? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. What we say has power, and God's word to us is a seed that he puts within us. Now, the soils are four types of people, who hear the word of God. All of them hear the word of God. Four types of people, and who receives God's word and who doesn't receive God's word. And the type of soil determines whether that seed is going to produce what God wants it to produce in our life, right? So this is what we have in the parable of the sower and the seed. And Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, listen up." You know, if this makes sense to you, pay attention. That's what he's saying. this makes sense, pay attention to what we're saying here. So let's look at this. Number one, you have the seed, and it's thrown on one type of soil, which is called the path, the hard path that you walk on all the time. And he says here, the seed comes, and the ones along the path are those who heard, and then the devil comes and takes the word away from their hearts so that they do not believe and are saved. These are people with hard hearts. They receive God's word, but it just sits there. They don't accept it. They don't probably believe it. And they don't want it to do anything in their lives. And it sits there. And Satan comes and takes the memory of that away instantly. They're no sooner they leave the chair and get to the water fountain, they forget everything they heard. Because there is a spirit, Satan, who comes and his demon forces. And they have the ability to snatch that memory. You know, Satan is not all-knowing, but for some reason, demon spirits have access to our minds. They plant thoughts, right? Some of you are saying yes. How do we know that? Because in the Garden of Eden, when Satan came to Eve, what did he do? He plants a thought. Did God really say that if you eat that fruit, you'll die? Just plants a thought, see? And that's all it took to cause Eve to start going down that road. First mistake she made was getting a conversation with Satan. But he plants thoughts. They don't like you. You don't have to forgive. Do you really have to forgive them after what they did to you? You don't have to give. You don't have to serve. He plants thoughts, okay? He's not all-knowing, but he knows human nature. And he can guide our thinking. And he can also take the word of God from us if we have a hard heart. And that means no openness to God. There's no receptiveness, no openness to the Word of God. So you have people coming year after year, attending church, nothing going on in their lives because their heart is hard. And hardness in our hearts comes just through the blows of life. People treading on us, all right? Life is tough, right? We come into the world as little innocent children and trusting everybody. And after a while, guess what? You don't trust people. You go to school, well, you go in a toddler room and you realize you can't trust the child with your toy, you know. And then you get into school and you start feeling the backbiting and the bullying and things like that. Then you may have the house problems and home problems. And pretty soon you start getting harder and harder through abuse, through betrayal. And we get a hard heart. And past hurts. Disappointments, especially people who've been in churches, they've been betrayed by leadership, hurt, wounded, abused, neglected, abandoned, let down, and they develop a hard heart. And from that point on, they'll go to a church, they'll go on Christmas, they'll go on Easter, they'll attend something, but it ain't going to penetrate their heart because it's hardened. Nothing. Satan comes and keeps snatching that word away. So they never change. They're around, but you see no change in their life because they're hard. Turn into atheists or agnostics. And that's how it was with me at one time in my life. People tried to share Christ with me. Boom, just bounced off like it was hitting metal. Didn't want anything to do with it at that particular time in my life. And so sometimes anger towards God, but there's reasons why we have a hard heart. And there's a guy up here in Grand County I saw a few years ago, and he said, yeah. I greeted him, and he said, yeah, my wife listens to your church's messages on the radio every Sunday. And I said, oh, really? He says, yeah. She says, she kind of likes that. I don't. I don't believe anything you say. I don't agree with you. I said, that's all right, you know, because I know a secret. I know a secret. There's a hardening there, and only God can soften up that hard, hard path. You know, God has ways to soften hard paths, though. Have you followed at all the Chilean miners that were rescued in Chile? Anybody follow that at all? I was watching TV that night that they started bringing them out, and I didn't even realize what was going on over there, kind of lost track. And I knew that 17 days they were down there, thought they were going to die, and then all of a sudden they got contacted, and how they bore that 5-inch hole down there 2,000 feet and hit that break room was a miracle from God, right? And and they followed that borehole down with a hole big enough to get them out. But I'm watching that, and here they get a camera down there in the cave. They show the miners, and this tube comes down. I go, whoa, you can see everything that's happening. And then 12 minutes later, boop, he comes out at the top, and everyone's hugging. And I started watching that. It took me 2 hours to get to sleep. But did you notice something if you were watching that about those miners? There were lives changed out in that pit. One guy comes up and says, I saw Satan and I saw God down in that pit, and I chose God. Some of them came up and just fell on their knees, thanking the Lord that they were saved. They knew it was a miracle from God. One of the guys down there, when they radioed down, what do you need? You know what he said? Bibles. And he started, men were turning to God like never before, because that had a softening effect on them. And some of them have been changed for all eternity coming out of that. Their hearts were softened as they faced death. And that happens with a lot of people. Sometimes there's a situation that comes into our life and it causes us to just consider eternity. And then one guy who I talked to recently had a trauma in his life. And he says, you know, I just started to pray. And I think there's a change happening in me, because there's no place else to turn. Well, God has a way of softening the path, the hard heart, to be receptive to his word. Second one here we find is the seed that's sown on the rocky soil. Sown on the rock, and Luke and Mark calls it the rocky soil, okay? And the ground on the rocky soil appears to be able to plant. It looks like it's okay, but underneath are hard areas, okay? Now, I was talking to Mark Miller. Is Mark? He was here at the last service. I don't know where he's at. But, there he is. He's up in the sound booth. And, Mark, you were saying in Nebraska, you don't have rocks in the soil there, right? I mean, you can bore a post hole and not hit a rock. We don't know what that's like in Colorado, okay? I mean, you start digging a post hole, you're going to hit a rock down in there. But Mark was saying Nebraska, the soil's got sand, and you can dig a post hole and put the post in and pack the sand in, and it's done, right? But in Colorado, we have rocks all over the place in the soil. And you were telling me that down south of Monte Vista, there's farmlands in there, and at the ends of the farmlands, there are big piles of rocks, right? Because those farmers had to clear all the rocks out of there with horses, huge rocks, because they understood, even though it looked good on the surface, there was no place for the roots to go, and they couldn't have a crop that would produce anything unless they got the rocks out. This is what Jesus was talking about here. There are people who receive God's word, but I would call these shallow Christians. They're receiving God's word, and they receive it at first with joy. That's what it says here. Those on the rocks are those that hear the word and receive it with joy. All right? So they're receiving it. They say, yes, that's what I want. But then, as Mark's gospel points out, when tribulation or persecution or testing, as it says in Luke, arise in their lives on account of the word, they fall away. What's that talking about? Well, they receive the word. It's great. They want God's blessing. That it rings true to them. But then they go out and their friends confront them. Oh, now you're going to church. You're going over to that cult. You one of those? Oh, going to start attending tea parties now? You're going to be holier than we are? This means no more drinking, no more partying? Huh? And the persecution comes because of the word. And they can't say no. They can't let go. And so they fall away. And you don't see them anymore. They're there for a while, boom, they're gone. Then you see them out there, they go, well, you know, I'm kind of reconsidering some things. Or if they do come to church and the word is talking about immorality in their life, well, they don't want to let go of that relationship. Or it's talking about giving in their life, well, I don't want to get involved in that. Or it's talking about serving, well, I'm too busy to do that. They have these rocks in their life. And every time the word tries to penetrate, it doesn't penetrate because they're unwilling to let go of anything. For me personally, as I look at this, this is the rocky soil. There's hard areas that we don't want to let go of. And if you go to church year after year, month after month, year after year, and whenever God's word starts to get uncomfortable, you say, that's it, and you tune out. Some of you young people, just that's when you start texting, you know, during the message. And you just kind of tune it out. Well, you only let God do so much in your life. Only a certain level. Then what's developed, I see, in people's hearts, and I've watched this happen so many times, is what's called in farming a plow pan. Anybody here farmed? You know what a plow pan is? Plow pan is if you till the soil at a certain depth year after year, 6 inches, 8 inches, and you never vary the depth of your plowing, you will develop right underneath where you plow compacted dirt called a plow pan. And there is no root that can get through that. It's like a rock under there because you only let God work so far. And you develop this hardness under there. Looks good on the outside. In fact, when you plant, green stuff starts coming up. The plants start growing, but then they soon wither because there's no way to get the moisture down into the deep root system that's needed to produce fruit. So there's no life there. These are hard areas in our life. This person receives the truth, however, there's no depth. So then when persecution comes because of the word, they just fall away. There's not the depth that helps them to sustain trouble that comes. These are unseen hard areas in their hearts that stops any growth that would otherwise be possible. What are some hard areas? Well, I see these as areas that we're unwilling to let go of. Habits that we're unwilling to let go of. I know of people who have habits in their life, and as soon as God's word gets a little bit too uncomfortable, they just leave, check out, because they are not going to let go of that habit. For some people, that rock is their image in a small community. Hey, I got an image in this community. And so I don't want to be so identified with Christianity that I lose my image. So that image becomes a hard rock right there. And God's word doesn't penetrate it. It can be my position. It can be a certain level of income. It can be friends. It can be a relationship. I know of people who've received the word of God with joy, looked like they were doing great, only to have them fall into, again, immoral relationships or bad friendships that they will not let go of. And it causes them to fall away. All of a sudden, you don't see him for a while and you don't see him for a while. I know of brothers, and I've known them for years, who come to church when it seems like things in their life are going well, but then they get into an immoral relationship and I don't see them anymore. Why? Because when they come to church, God will convict them about that relationship. And so they don't come. They fall away because they're not going to let go of that. Whatever that is, those are rocks. And we do not see the Word of God penetrating. We're unwilling to let those go. Does that make sense? It can be popularity. It can be anything in our life. Under the surface. So on the top, it seems okay, but there's no root. No root. And so no fruit. This is what it talks about down here, that we might bear fruit with patience. So then you have third area is the seed sown among the thorns. Seed sown among the thorns. Now, this is an interesting one. I feel this is a Christian, possibly. I'm not saying these are Christians or non-Christians, but I know that Jesus is speaking to his disciples here. And there are people who really want to go on with God. They really want to do what God wants them to do. But there are things just sapping the life right out of them. Sapping the life right out of them. Their energy. These are like weeds. How many know weeds grow faster than good plants? You don't have to plant the weeds. They're just there. And they grow fast and they suck the moisture away from the plant. If you were God, would you have reversed that process? You know, made the plant stronger and the weeds not able to grow. But ever since Adam sinned, God said, out of the ground will be thistles. Ever have a thistle problem? Okay. Man, those buggers, they drink a lot of water and they're hard to get out. And they seed. So this soil is full of weeds, thorns and thistles that consume the water necessary for the growth of any good crop. These people hear the word, they desire to act on it, but cares and riches and pleasures of life take priority and they never grow up. They never mature. They never mature. I know people 20, 30 years that are wrestling with the same issues today as they were then. Doug, pray for me. I'm still battling with this issue 30 years ago. Big issues in their life, not little things. And why? Because there's other things that are taking the life of the Spirit out of them. Mark's gospel gives us additional insight here also. The weeds are the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word of God out, and it proves unfruitful. So, cares of this world. In America, we have a lot of cares of the world. Why do we have a lot of cares? Because we got a lot of stuff. And the more stuff you have, the more you got to care about your stuff, right? That's one source of care in our life. Oh, I don't want to lose what I have. So we hang on to that. And also there's things that we want that we pursue. So if we want more stuff, then we've got to work for it. So the cares of this world, the desire for other things, desire for riches, motivate us to work harder. So you have people in Grand County who have 1, 2, 3 jobs because they want to ski and they want to get new ski equipment. They want a new car. They want to maintain their house. And they work all the time. And so when it comes to Christ, when they hear the word of God, they'll say, yeah, I need to do that. But they never get around to doing that because all this other stuff is sapping the energy right out of their life. So they're either working or tired. I'm either working or tired because I'm pursuing all these other things. And these weeds are just growing. And there's no fruit produced. Nothing of value. What is fruit? Well, thank the Lord, we know exactly what God is talking about when he talks about fruit. Galatians 5:25. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Okay? 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit right there. That's what fruit is. So God wants to see in our life love produced. Love not like the world's love, not erotic love, not conditional love, but the kind of love that allows us to love our enemies, the kind of love that motivates us to serve, to give, that considers others' interests more than our own, the kind of love that is a blessing to other people. Because that's what fruit is. Fruit in our life is there to bless others. Others eat of that fruit, see? What good is fruit if you just let it go and rot, right? I mean, if you have compost piles, maybe you could use it for that, but fruit is to be eaten, and the fruit in our life is for the benefits of other people. How many of you love to be around someone who just is patient, who doesn't fly off the handle? That's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Patience, long-suffering, joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Do you like being around people who just have this inner sense of joy? Whatever happens around them, yeah, they have concerns, but there's this sustained joy that causes the light of Christ to shine through them, and you love to be around them. Kindness. You like to be around kind people or agitated people? You know, I was playing golf this summer, and I was with this businessman who said that his friend, who's a businessman, whenever he is going to promote from within his company, he doesn't tell anybody, he takes the people that he's interested in promoting out to play golf. And he observes their life. If you've ever played golf, I like a lot of sports, but there is not a sport that tests personal integrity like golf. There is no referee. You can kick your ball, move your ball, not count any strokes. I've been with pastors out there playing, you know, and it's a par 4. It means you have to make 4 shots to get in the hole 400 yards down there. And he hits his ball in the trees, and I hear whap, bam, 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 bam through the trees. Whap, bam, bam, bam. He's 3 or 4 shots in there. And then he hits it out, and we get up to the green. What'd you get, par? I said, par, you took more shots than that out there in the woods. But he doesn't count those. There is not a game that tests personal integrity like golf. And this businessman would watch them. Do they throw their clubs? Do they fly off the handle? Are they easily agitated? Do they come down hard on themselves? Are they competitive? Are they always trying to beat the other person? He learned a lot about their personalities and never told them they were in line for promotion. Anyway, thought that was pretty wise. But fruit, you're looking for fruit. You're looking for fruit. Well, God wants to produce kindness, patience, faithfulness. How many spouses love the fruit of faithfulness with your spouse? Wow. See, God wants to bless our lives. So his word planted within us will produce the kind of fruit that'll be fulfilling to us and a blessing to others. And there's things that hinder that. And one of those things is desire for riches, cares, and the pleasures of life that just consume our time, consume our money, consume our energy. Grand County, talk about pursuit of pleasure. There's a lot of things to do in Grand County, right? And I like to do a lot of them. There is skiing. Skiing's coming up, put the golf clubs away, take the skis out, right? Snowmobiling, hunting, fishing, boating, hiking, all kinds of things up here to do. And there are people in Grand County who go to church regularly, 1-2 hours on Sunday. And the rest of the week, they're working or playing. They don't have time to serve, don't have time to get involved in anything outside of what they want, because they don't have the energy to do that. Because everything is taking up time. They're like weeds that are just sucking the life of God's Spirit right out of that person. And they don't even see it. Why? Because these are things we like. These are things we like. And they grow with the seed. They're right there in the same soil. We don't see them as weeds. And so materialism, work, 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 overwork to gain more money, to have more stuff, to have more pleasure. You know, we have a wrong idea of success in America. Success is not having the most toys, the best income, and having the most control over your life, you know, because that runs its course and it is empty and frustrating, right? Okay, a couple of you have come to know that. Some may not know that yet. Jeff back there. Success is doing what God wants me to do. There's no other fulfillment like that but to walk with the Lord. And that's what he's given us. Discontentment, envy, focus on what others have and what I want. Entertainment, endless entertainment, is like a weed that just sucks the life right out of us, so we don't see the fruit that others can enjoy in our life. Jesus was giving a big heads up here to his disciples. These are secrets of the kingdom. Secrets of the kingdom. So thank God that he doesn't stop with that, because there's one more type of person. Good soil. Good soil. The good soil here, he goes on to say, as for the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast, put it to practice with an honest and good heart, not hypocrisy, honest and good heart, and they bear fruit with patience. They stay at it, and God begins to transform their lives, which is a blessing to everybody around them, displaying God's glory through them. This is the soil that's been prepared for the seed to take root. The rocks are being removed. The receptiveness, they're letting God deal with every area of their life so no plow pans develop underneath the surface. They're letting God work deep this time in their life, not so deep at this time in their life, but letting God do whatever he wants in their life. They're removing all the hindrances to growth. They're hearing the word. They're accepting it. They're not being hypocrites. They're acting on the word of God, and fruit and change is taking place in their life, and everybody sees it. They're full of light. They're full of life. They're full of the joy of the Lord. And the blows of life, the trouble with our country, the trouble with the world, they're well aware, but it is not affecting their daily walk, because they're walking with Jesus every day, and God is doing a great work in their hearts. It's a good soil. We have to let God break up the hard areas of our life. Let God remove the rocks in our life, and it's time to do great weeding in our life. And if we do that, that soil is prepared, and God just begins to work in dynamic ways through that type of person. And that's what Jesus was talking about. The good soil. People who understand that we need the seed of God's word in our hearts. So we're spending daily time in God's word. Good soil is made up of humility, not thinking more highly of ourselves than we are, realizing that I need help. I need direction. I need insight into life. So I do not miss God's word. I'm in the word because I need God to direct me. I don't want to direct my own life. Good soil has humility. Good soil is soil with gratefulness in there. Just grateful to God for his presence, for what he gives us. Good soil has an understanding that nothing belongs to me. Everything belongs to God. So God can touch anything he wants, take anything he wants, give anything he wants. Good soil is loose. That seed can get in there and just start producing whatever God wants. Good soil is not holding on to anything, and good soil is willing to let go of whatever God wants us to let go of. This is good soil, soft, penetrable. And then God does a great work through that. This is why you have some people growing in the Lord and others don't. And thank God he works in our life different ways to reveal these things to us. But the last verse here in John chapter 15, Jesus said, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." bear much fruit. So prove to be my disciples. Part of the fruit is freedom. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Freedom like we've never known before. Freedom from cares, freedom from anxiety, freedom from concerns that consume other people. This is what God wants, because Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it, how? Abundantly, abundantly, full and rich in every way. And Jesus was giving great insights to his disciples into what saps the life of God right out of us. What a great thing. God's word is so alive. It's living and active. It penetrates our hearts and discerns our very thoughts and intentions and gives us life. Praise God for that. Isn't God good? Hallelujah for that. Weeding time. Probably time to weed, okay, in some lives. Time to get some rocks out, some other lives. Maybe time to break up some hard ground to receive God's word, because that's what the Holy Spirit wants in us. Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you for today. And Lord, again, for your great and eternal love for us. And Lord, we are those disciples that can come to you and say, God, what are you saying to me here? What are you saying? What do you want in my life? Because I'm yours. I used to be a slave of the enemy. Now I'm a slave of Christ. I used to yield my members to as instruments of wickedness. Now I can yield them to you as instruments in your hands to bless people. Instruments of righteousness, doing what's right before you. You have delivered me and set me free. Now, Lord, you're teaching me how to walk with you. There may, just in an attitude of prayer today, because we want to receive God's word with an honest heart. Honest heart. There may be someone here in this room or listening to this message by another means. And maybe for the first time, you see yourself as one with a hard heart. Hard towards Christianity. Hard towards the Lord. Toward his word. Maybe there's a reason why you have a hard heart. Maybe there's a deep hurt in your life. Or betrayal or a wound. Or something that happened to you that just turned you off. But the Holy Spirit is speaking to you now because Jesus is not like that. Don't hold against God what other people have done to you. Maybe it's time to let God break up that hard ground. Call upon him. Because if this is making sense to you, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Then God is reaching out to you. He will transform your life. Maybe you're one that just looks good on the outside, but there's rocks underneath the surface. There's areas that you are unyielding in. You will not change. You won't let them go. And they're hindering the work of God in your life. And even though you want to see fruit produced, it can't be produced. Because there's a plow pan under there. Now today may be a good time to say, Lord, I want that broken up in my life. And I surrender to you. I yield myself to you. I want to start removing those rocks, those rock hard areas, so that you can do in me the work you have for me, to make me the man or the woman you've designed me to be. Because there's hope and life and nothing else but you. Maybe you're that person. Maybe you're the person who can see, you know, there's weeds in my life and they're sapping a lot of energy from me. Finances, time, emotional strength. And I'm one of those that I just don't feel I can give anything to God or to his people or to others. Because you're consumed unknowingly, unintentionally with yourself. Maybe today's a day to do weeding. Say, Lord, I'm getting rid of these things. I want you to design my life. I yield my agenda to you. An agenda can be one of those. Man plans his way, but it's the Lord that directs his steps. I want you to direct my steps. And I'll not pursue anything that you don't want me to pursue. I'll not go after that, because it will just hinder the work of your Spirit in me. Today's a good day to yield that to God. Maybe you are the good soil. There are people here and listening to this message that are good soil. And you have a repentant heart. When the Holy Spirit convicts you, you want to change. You don't want anything to hinder God's working in your life. You're experiencing the joy of the Lord. You're seeing patience and faithfulness and long-suffering and gentleness produced in your life. You're seeing others blessed and you're being fulfilled. And God is just saying, continue doing that with patience. Don't give up, because He's doing a good work in you. And you're pleasing. You're pleasing the Lord. And you need to receive that, because we need to hear God's well done. Oh God, we thank You for that. So Father in heaven, speak to our hearts today. Transform our lives, and may we yield and surrender them to You. As it says in Your word, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Laying down your lives as living sacrifices before God. Lay it down, surrendering all, which is our true spiritual worship. And we want to be true worshipers, oh God. So we thank You for this today. We pray for that person we're sitting next to right now. We pray that they would be open and receptive to the Word of God, that You might bless their lives, and that Satan would not be able at all to snatch that Word away today. We honor You and we praise You for these things, Lord. And now, O God, be honored and glorified in our lives as we leave this place and enter into the mission field. O God, use us to display Your glory throughout this week. May we let our light so shine among men that they could see the difference, see our good works, and give glory to our Father in heaven, for that's what we live for. We thank You for all these things today now in Jesus' name. Amen, Father. Amen, Lord. Praise God.